What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you here for another edition of Phillies Today. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we have a ton to get to on the program today, including some takeaways from the meh first week of the Phillies, we'll call it. They drop each of their first two series at home and start out 2-4. I've liked the pitching staff for the most part. Lineup, not so much. So definitely going to talk about both of those groups in depth and kind of how the week has shook out here and how the schedule will shake out here the rest of April as it looks like things are getting a little lighter here. So we'll get to it all. I'm excited to get back into these regular season pods where, you know, we're breaking down games and kind of reacting to them after, you know, a week of play here. So let's dive into it. I'm going to give you a quick recap of the start of the season, what I've seen out of a number of individual players, and then we'll kind of do a preview of the series with the Nats coming up this weekend as well. So quickly to recap the first week of the Phillies season, like I said, Phillies go 1-2 in each of their first two series. They get smoked in the first two against Atlanta with a complete bullpen meltdown on opening day after a great Zach Wheeler start. Marsh hits the homer off Strider. Ballpark is jumping about the fifth, sixth inning there. And then, like I said, complete bullpen meltdown from Strom and Alvarado, guys who, you know, as Rob Thompson said, are expected to be crucial parts of your bullpen this season. It was probably uncharacteristic of them, but, you know, nevertheless, they gave up, I think, nine runs that the bullpen that day. So, yeah, not great. And then that loss is followed by an Aaron Nola collapse in Game 2 where Max Fried doesn't get out of the first inning. And between the rain and I think he got a little nicked up there and he got hit around a little bit, and he doesn't get out of the first inning. Also walk in the ballpark. I think he walked like three guys. And then vintage early season Aaron Nola just gets absolutely crushed by the Braves lineup, man. And so they drop the first two, go to 0-2, and then they find a way to salvage one against the Braves, where Ranger looked really good. Schwarber gets the leadoff homer. You're able to get out of that series, still feeling decent about yourself, and then the Reds come to town. So I think they're also going to be a playoff team this year. I've said that. I think that their young talent is really, really good there. And the starting pitching, once again, for the Phils was what you needed. Sanchez looked good. You're in a tight ball game on Monday. 2-2, goes to extra innings. But then the offense fails to score after the second inning. And then kind of the whole Connor Brogdon situation takes place there, and he ends up taking the brunt of the blame for, you know, not really being able to locate anything with him being in the game. Then ends up giving up the grand slam to Spencer Steer in the 10th inning. And then you win a fun game on Tuesday. And I'll talk more about Harper, talk more about Turnbull in a minute as well. And how about Ricardo Pinto, man? What a story. Just incredible, by the way. Former Phils international signee. Makes his debut with the team in 2017, was actually a Paul Owens Award winner at one point for, you know, the top guy in the Philly system. And then, obviously, goes a separate ways, didn't really work out here at the major league level in, 2017 when he came up. Then he comes back, starts out in AAA and has to play in Rochester the other day, gets the call. They send a car for him because they can't get a flight. He has to drive 5 hours from Rochester just to make it in time to head out to the bullpen and pitch. And then he goes down to the clubhouse, and they're like getting him to the clubhouse like through fans. They said that they had to take like an entrance where, you know, there were just random fans there. And then it's pretty incredible. He goes out, he pitches four great innings, and the Phils win. But just an absolutely wild scenario. Good for him. They also said he didn't end up, you know, meeting his teammates until right before he had to go out to the bullpen as well. So just a crazy story. And so it was good little fun game on Tuesday. I enjoyed that. Of course, the three Harper homers, Turnbull looking good, and Ricardo Pinto. Just one of those fun games with a bunch of storylines. And then you have Wednesday night. And once again, I know it's an early April game. There's wind, there's rain, but the bats go totally cold. And you're left wondering, is this team ever going to be capable of getting off to a good start? And that's kind of where, you know, I want to start this pod. And what needs to happen over the next week or the next month or so that will allow this team to click? Because if they're going to get to where they've kind of preached in spring training, which is, you know, getting off to a good start, being in it with the Braves until the very end, they got to get going here. And it feels like, shockingly, Schwarber is kind of the lone guy who's gotten off to a good start here. He's leading the team in base hits so far. like everyone expects out of your typical leadoff hitter there. And he's had a couple of bombs in there as well. But Marsh looking good to start the year. I believe he leads the team in slugging OPS so far at a small sample size. I would like to see him in the lineup every day. I know that that has also been a topic that people have been, you know, discussing. And I feel like you wouldn't have brought Whit Merrifield here, who I'll also get to, if Brandon Marsh was your everyday, you know, left fielder here. And obviously, Johan Rojas is a big factor in that as well. But it would be good to see Marsh start playing against lefties every day, just because I feel like every time he gets the chance, he's finding a way to produce. He had a big hit against the lefty the other day. And I don't know. I feel like he's kind of earned that trust to where you can at least expect him to put up a good at-bat against the lefty. But we'll see how that develops as the year goes on. But then you have Harper, which he's just so awesome, man. He starts out the year 0 for 11. And you've gotten such little production out of the middle of the order so far as the season had gone on. And by that Reds game where he hits the three homers, you're just like, man, you need something out of, I guess, what is it, Harper, JT, and Stott here, because it just felt like the middle of the lineup really hasn't done too much, and then Bryce just goes absolutely off. But I want to make clear, I'm not panicking, but it's just frustrating. After you've heard, like I said, all spring training along, how important the good start is, because yeah, if you don't turn it around soon here, I will say, the Braves might not be looking back. I'm not too worried about the rest of the division right now between the starts that the Mets and the Marlins have gotten off to. My goodness, the Marlins have still not won a game. I believe they're 0-8. And the Mets yesterday rally in the second game of the doubleheader to just get a split there. But with the lineup right now, you've essentially also gotten nothing from Turner and Castellanos, who I haven't mentioned so far either. And Johan Rojas as well, also a problem in your nine hole right now with him basically being a step up from having a pitcher in that spot. We'll see how patient Dave Dombrowski gets with that, because to me, at least from a mechanics standpoint, it seems like Rojas has reverted to a lot of last year's tendencies with the bat path just being incredibly long. And obviously, he's chasing outside the zone as well there. But like I said a little earlier, it's not like Whit Merrifield's doing any better to start here. 2-for-14 to start, hasn't really hit anything hard. So again, will be very interesting to see how patient they end up being with Johan Rojas, and if they feel that they have enough in-house as the trade deadline and the season gets later. Do they have enough between Rojas, Merrifield, and Marsh to be above league average overall in left and center field? And I will say this also, because it's been a topic on our station and has been talked about a little bit here in the past few days. You know, this team chose to go with the better defensive lineup. They chose to let go of Rhys Hoskins. And, hey, Rhys Hoskins gotten off to a really good start in Milwaukee, has a couple of homers, getting on base at a really high clip. And do I think they made the right decision still? Yes. And do I think Johan Rojas is going to be a big-time major league player with, you know, a platinum glove potential in the major leagues? Yes. So I'm still okay with that decision. But you have to ask yourself right now, what is the best possible lineup they would have had with Rhys Hoskins? And if Bryce Harper would have went back to the outfield and Rhys Hoskins would have played first base, I'll tell you right now, that lineup would certainly be upgraded from what it is currently at. So it's something to think about. And, you know, obviously you can't undo it, but would have been interesting to see had they had gone to Rhys Hoskins to play first and Bryce Harper to go back to right, how different this lineup would kind of look right now. But Stott and Boehm, I mentioned Stott a little earlier, I think they've been fine, I'll say so far. I think JT's actually done a decent job out of the four spot here. I'm not sure there's any reason to make a switch right now, especially with how Castellanos is swinging it. He's just in one of those zones where he's struggling. He's struggling big time. And he's one of those guys where he's just got to find some sort of way to get a swing back, and you just hope the drought or the slump just doesn't last too long. But we'll see. And by the way, the quote from Nick the other night about the scoreboard and potentially the new out-of-town scoreboard messing up the outfielder's vision and being something they kind of have to get used to is a little hilarious. I know it's probably totally true, and it does make sense, honestly, but it's just not what you want to hear after you go 0-2 in your first two home series of the year. But I will mention that scoreboard does stink. The aura and nostalgia of the old out-of-town scoreboard just made the ballpark what it was, and I just feel like there are other parks like PNC in Pittsburgh, for example, that have made their out-of-town scoreboards digital, but at least use the same type of format as the old one, like with the dots over the diamond and everything like that. So just not feeling the new scoreboard. I don't think Nick Castellanos is either. So moving along, lineup. I trust them to get better. With the schedule coming up, which is Washington, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, who's gotten off to a nice start, by the way. The Rockies, then the White Sox. You have a chance to hit against these teams. And if they don't end up finishing the month of April at or if they end up finishing the month of April at or below 500, I will be a little concerned. So they've just got to figure this out, man. Just please. They really have to get this lineup going. But on the other side of the scorecard, though, I've liked what I've seen out of a lot of guys on this pitching staff so far, despite the 2-4 start. Like I previously mentioned, Wheeler threw the ball great on opening day. Gets pulled after 89 pitches, which I was fine with. It's early in the season. You want to ramp these guys up a little. Don't want them throwing 100-plus pitches every outing in a 31-start season. So I thought he was solid on Wednesday night, too. Those first two runs went down as unearned because of the rare error by Bryson Stott at second base. And then he makes a little mistake there to Ellie De La Cruz for the RBI double in the sixth. And, ooh, Ellie, by the way, rough series, man. He had three errors in the second game, and he's just one of those guys that has all the raw ability to be a really, really good player, but sometimes just not a smart decision maker in the field. And he's got some swing and miss at the plate, too. And he's teetering there on the overrated territory. So I'm going to be keeping my eye on him this year and kind of this Reds team in general. A lot of good young hitting and pitching talent. And like I said, I think they will be a 90-plus win team. But back to the rotation. It looks like it's only one start, but it just felt like classic Nola the other day where he just didn't look comfortable from the start. I know it was raining and cold, but you just got to keep your breaking stuff down. And he just wasn't able to effectively command that. And, he got hit around a little bit. He walked guys as well. And just the way he was leaving pitches up in the zone so early, you just had a feeling that it might not go great, especially against that Braves lineup that could really torch you. And it didn't go well. He gets tagged for 6 earned on 11 hits and 4 1/3. And like I said, stuff just wasn't there. So hopefully that gets fixed in Washington tonight. Ranger, I thought he was decent once he settled in. I thought him and Sanchez were actually pretty good. Especially they both of them utilized their changeups in their first start. Ranger goes for 7 strikeouts. And how about Chris Sanchez going for 8 strikeouts at his season debut? So you get some decent production out of your third and fourth pitchers. But another guy we need to talk about is Spencer Turnbull here. And he gets the job done and then some in his first start as a fill, giving them 5 strong innings, which they really needed, with a bullpen taxed a bit from the extra inning game the night before. He got swing and misses, was able to get ahead in counts, and finishes with 7 strikeouts and no walks, so that was ideal. Didn't know you were allowed to get that type of production out of your fourth and fifth starter. Didn't know that. I will say this. This team did not miss Taiwan Walker this week. That is for sure. But on the Walker front, he said, the team has said that he's pretty close to a return. He's thrown a couple bullpens recently, so I believe once he is back that Turnbull would probably be their long guy out of the pen. But I certainly would not be opposed to him getting another start here because I thought he showed some good things the other night. And it would be great if you could get kind of the Spencer Turnbull that was the prospect before Tommy John surgery, because I know he threw the no-hitter, but he was also pretty highly touted in that Tiger organization. So it would be great to get him on a little comeback story here. But before I move on to this weekend, I also wanted to bring up the bullpen situation really quickly. I know a lot of people are discouraged about what they've seen from the Phil's bullpen so far, and for good reason. They haven't been great so far. But I will, like I said a little earlier, agree with what Rob Thompson said about the early season struggles from Matt Strom, Jose Alvarado, at being uncharacteristic. And I think that once you get Kirkring back, it's going to be massive for this back end. It kind of allow guys to settle into their roles a little more. It'll allow Sir Anthony, who's been disappointing early, to maybe get some earlier spots in the game, a little less high leverage. It just creates a little more depth back there because they are a good bullpen. I promise you that. Hoffman's been great. I think Alvarado's finding it. Also, Junior Marte has been really good as well. So I think they'll be just fine. Just kind of, they got to get in a groove here. And what better time to do it than this weekend against a bad Nationals team? So before we get out of here, I want to preview this weekend series with the Nats a little bit, give you some pitching matchups and a couple things to look out for as the Phils hit the road for the first time this season. So tonight, Friday, the Phils get the weekend going with Aaron Nola trying to bounce back from his last start. against Patrick Corbin from the Nationals. Phil's seen a lot of lefties here early on, so I think it's pretty likely that we see the lineup where your 4, 5, 6 hitters go JT, Boom, Castellanos, like they've done a couple times early on here. But the biggest question will be, do Bryce Stott and Brandon Marsh get the call to play against a lefty? I think Stott is probably typically in the lineup at this point, unless he's a day off, even if it's against a lefty. But we'll see how this Marsh-Merrifield situation progresses, with a lot having to do with what happens with Rojas as well. So I just think that it would be great to see them both get a chance against Corbin tonight, because obviously Patrick Corbin, not the most talented left-handed pitcher you'll face, and I think it'd be a good opportunity for both of them to get reps against a lefty. And I know you're trying to win a ball game here, but I think that them getting a ton of reps against lefties, kind of figure out if you need to platoon or not, is going to be important here early on in the season. So hope they play, but we'll see. I think Stott will end up playing, but Marsh probably ends up on the bench. That's just pure speculation, but we will see what happens when the lineup comes out. Moving on to Saturday, you have Ranger going up against Jake Irvin, who, right-handed pitcher, also not very good. Then you wrap it up on Sunday with Chris Sanchez back on the bump, taking on yet another lefty in Mackenzie Gore on the mound. So I am challenging the Phillies to sweep this series. You can get right back to where you want to be early in the season if you win this series, or even better, sweep this series, and just get off to a good start on this relatively easy slate you have. Like I said up there, you have the Nationals, you have the White Sox, you have the Rockies, you have the Pirates. You have some teams here that you can beat up on, and that you're just so much more talented than. So just go out there and just be, just do what you're supposed to do. That's really what it comes down to. So, the rest of the division is struggling. This is a chance to make it, you and the Braves at the top and everyone looking up at you for the rest of the season. Obviously, Nola looking good is really important here. But if I'm looking at anyone to kind of get going here, it's Trey Turner. Both at the plate and in the field, it's kind of been a disaster so far. And it looks like the beginning of last year a little bit. And now he isn't chasing as much as we saw in August of last season, or as we saw before of August of last season, where he finds his swing, of course, and more importantly, finds his confidence. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little concerned about Trey, not just for this year, but for the long term as well. It's been a disaster in the field, and it almost has me wondering, of course, he is an 11-year deal here, and he's going to be here for a long time, but is he going to be the Phillies shortstop of the future? Like, Bryce's Stott is so good at second base that I don't want to move them, because I'd rather have a gold glove second baseman and a below average shortstop than an average shortstop and maybe an average second baseman. But it kind of has me wondering, will Trey Turner spend the rest of his career as shortstop? Because once the Castellanos deals are up, Castellanos being up in 2 years, Schwarber's up after next year, and depending on what they do with Marsh and Rojas and how they develop, maybe does Trey Turner make a move to the outfield later on in his career? I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But it really feels like that Trey Turner's best days of shortstop are probably behind him. And I knew with the Dodgers that he was a relatively average shortstop just in terms of his metrics and, his outs above average and defensive run saves and everything at shortstop. But I just am not sure that he's really a great answer for your long-term shortstop. I don't think he's that great over there. And I know he's worked with Bobby Dickerson. I know he's worked all offseason, and it's early on in the season. But I am sort of speculating here whether or not Trey Turner is going to be the shortstop of the future, and if it's kind of going to keep hurting this team. Because I'll tell you what, right now I kind of hold my breath every time there's a routine play with Trey Turner over there. And like I said, the rest of the infield defense has been really good. Even Alec Boehm, I have to mention Alec Boehm's infield defense so far, been really, really good. Even a step up from last year, where I thought he took a major, major step. He's been really good over there. Bryce Stott had the crucial error the other night, but you really trust him over there at second base. Was a gold glove candidate last year. And I'll tell you what, Bryce Harper is going to win a gold glove at first base. He's really good over there. And they already have the padding over by the camera well now to make sure that Bryce Harper doesn't fall into the camera well anymore and hurt himself, because that was a scary, scary play in, second game of the year, where he goes flying. He flips over the camera well, and the camera guys didn't even know what to do. Like, you're supposed to let the trainers go over there and help him, but it's Bryce freaking Harper. You got to help him up, and they were. It was just absolute mayhem over there. So the Phillies end up, it's almost like when Aaron Rowan hit his face against the fence in center field, how like a night or two later they had padding on those metal bars so that would never happen again. They now raise that fence so it's not as as small over there on the first baseline, so the first baseman can't trip on, or I guess flip over it. So that is a good thing there, but just glad Bryce is okay. That was a scary moment. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter if it's game one or game two of the regular season or if it's game six or seven of the World Series at the end, he is going to put his body on the line whenever it calls for it. And hey, he tried to make the play, but didn't end up making it. But it was cool to see that effort. But I'm really liking the infield defense so far, aside from Trey Turner. Really hope that he can get going here, because if not, and if we get through this season kind of similar to last year and you know, how it's looking the first few games here, I'm going to start to question if he's the shortstop of the future. So those are my thoughts on the infield defense and on Trey. Also, JT, I think, has been really good behind the plate so far. I know last year, at least metric-wise, a little bit of a down year for him. I think he's been good back there as well. So as I wrap this up, last thing I wanted to say is just how awesome is it to have regular season baseball back on all the time right now? Just like, I have my MLB TV package, and just being able to throw on games in the middle of the day, like I watched the whole Mets doubleheader yesterday for just no reason, or like to watch the Dodgers late at night, it's just so refreshing, and I'm glad we're back. It was a pretty exciting first week of baseball around the league, bunch of storylines, fantasies going, we're back. We're freaking back, man. It's just going to be a great season of baseball, and hopefully the Phillies get going here, and I have a feeling they will. With this easy schedule coming up in the month of April, you really have to take advantage of some of these poor teams that you're going to be playing here. So with that, this has been another edition of Phillies Today. We will be back next Friday to break everything down, as always. So until then, I hope you have a great week, everybody. This has been Justin Morgenstein for Phillies 24/7. We'll see you next week.